You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time looking at the action coming up on Monday the 15th of January. We've got Ayr, Plumpton and Wolverhampton for you live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So make sure you join the team in the studio for tips, previews and commentaries on all the day's racing. But for now, to get some tips for Monday's action and also to look to a busy Saturday of a top-class fair, my name's John Gibby. I'm joined by Andy Gibson. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm very good, John. Thank you. Yeah, lovely to be here.
Yeah, good to have you in the studio with us. Have you done the podcast before?
I've done it once or twice, and we had some great races yesterday on Saturday to have a chat about, and typical Monday fair, you'd have to say.
Yeah.
But the extreme of the ground at Ayr, I think, gives us a chance. It's always good, I think, when the ground is heavy beyond heavy, because very few horses go through that. So I think we've got a couple there that probably will.
Well, let's take a look at your two bets for Ayr on Monday, Andy. We'll take your next best first. We'll work it up. Bit of a fanfare procession. What's your MB?
My next best is in the 250 at Ayr, and it's a Mickey Hammond horse called Paddling. I think he'll probably be okay on the ground. He ran a decent race at Hexham on very heavy ground. He didn't run so well at Newcastle in a novice hurdle, but I suspect that was at a time when he was acquiring a mark. Last time out at Catterick, he was very, very impressive. Unfortunately, in terms of his mark, winning by 14 lengths, which resulted in him being raised from 89 to 101. He's a lightly raced horse. He's progressive. I expect him to keep on progressing, and this is not a great race. He's second bottom weight. He's off 101. He's got Finian O'Toole claiming 3, so he'll run off 98. And I think he'll probably run extremely well. And he would be my next best bet tomorrow.
He's come out and won, as you mentioned, by 14 lengths last time at Catterick. Sometimes when these horses come out, especially over fences, it seems sometimes, and win by wide margins, sometimes they've really turned a corner and it's really the start of them progressing into running in much better handicaps. And sometimes it's just a bit of a flash in the pan. But you think definitely the former in this case?
Well, the clues would be that he's lightly raced, that was only his fourth chase. And I don't think the plan before the race would have been to win by 14 lengths.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have been happy with take the 10 off there and make it 4 or something.
Probably not at 4-1.
Yeah, he would have then gone off, then gone up to 96, 97 or something. But he's 101, that's what he is. I think the difference is perhaps that maybe they'll get a couple of wins out of him instead of 3, as in adding, one to the Catterick one. So, they might have cost themselves a victory. I don't think it'll be tomorrow. I think he'll run extremely well and be difficult to beat tomorrow. And then if he gets raised to, 105, 108, then you might be looking at the ceiling of his ability.
So that's the next best selection. Paddling runs in the 250. What about the Knapp?
The Knapp, I have no idea what price this horse will be, but the trainer, Warren Greatrex, the horse is Chef Duve, and the trainer, Warren Greatrex, wouldn't go up to Ayr that often. His son, Thomas Greatrex, takes £7 off this horse. He's running off 113. The key with this horse is he absolutely loves bottomless ground. It cannot be soft enough for this horse. So I'm very, very confident that he'll run well. The ground at the moment is heavier and more rain is predicted. What we want is for the meeting to almost be abandoned, but not quite. Now, the last time that he had these conditions was at Hereford, February last year. And I've rarely seen a horse go through that sort of ground so easily as this one. That was over fences. He continued over fences, but first time out, sorry, his second run over fences this season, he was ridden, as I feel, too aggressively. Him and Solstice Star took each other on at Lingfield in heavy ground. And I think that they paid the price for it and dropped away. And a good horse called Full Irish, a horse of Emma Lavelle's, came through and won the race. I think he paid for setting too aggressive a pace there. He then reverted to hurdles a week or so ago. And I would say he ran okay at Chepstow in a race that would be a better race than this one. He was strong in the market that day. He was blinkered for the first time. And it's interesting that he wears cheek pieces tomorrow. They've left the blinkers off. One would imagine that he didn't face the blinkers as well as they hoped.
Yeah.
So they've reverted to cheek pieces. Thomas Greatrex takes 7 off. He's running off 113. The reason this is a well-handicapped horse is because most of the time he will run in circumstances where he can't win. Every now and then, he will have his conditions, extreme ground, where he can win, and he will go up 9, 10 pounds or whatever, and then gradually drop down as he runs on good to soft, soft, good ground or whatever. Tomorrow, we have the chance. It's a bad race. It's low fare. It's a 0 to 120. It was a 0 to 145 last time, and he will have an excellent chance tomorrow. I'm hoping that it's going to be an each-way price, but I'm guessing.
Well, when you look at that absolute romp at Hereford a year ago, winning by 30 lengths, came off 130s, down to 122 now, less than a year later, in the same conditions. You probably wouldn't have expected him to be on this sort of mark now, you know, less than a year after that victory. And also interesting on the headgear, that performance at Hereford came on only his second ever run wearing the cheek pieces, which you were talking about. And the first time he wore cheek pieces, he seems to have run a good race behind American of Harry Price.
Yeah, so he's just very interesting. I mean, listen, you know, I mean, not many horses go on this ground. The racing at Ayr wouldn't be of the standard that it would be at Chepstow. It would probably be more like Hereford. And you're not going to get more in your favour than Chef Duve has got tomorrow on many occasions. So I'm hoping he's in each way price. If he is, I'll have a really decent bet on him.
Chef Duve, then, Nap selection for Andy. Warren Greatrex sends him to Ayr. Thomas Greatrex claiming 7. So that's Monday. Now we'll shift our attention to slightly more high-quality racing, Andy, that we saw on Saturday. It was one of those Saturdays that doesn't have a really, really big famous Grade 1 of which to speak, but there was a lot of quite good racing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And to be honest, I normally take the first week or two off in January and tend to try and go abroad or something for a few days and get a little bit of sunshine, because the first two Saturdays of the month are normally not very strong. But because the calendar has been moved backwards a little bit, it just means that this meeting comes slightly later in the month than it normally does. So I'm around for this one. And I must say I'm glad I was, because I got to watch Waiting Patiently at Kempton in the Casino Chase, the listed race on the card. Now, this is a horse I'm really, really interested in and have been for some time. He's now 5 from 5 over fences. I wasn't convinced that 2.5 miles around Kempton on good to soft ground would have been ideal for him. I thought it might be a little bit sharp for him yesterday, and the ground wouldn't be as soft as he would prefer. So I think he's overcome a one or two negatives there to come through, still win pretty much on the bridle, with an awful lot in hand in what, you know, it was a listed race. And this for me is a Grade 1, Grade 2 horse. The race that I've had in mind for this one for a long time is, from a betting point of view, is the Betfair Ascot Chase, the Grade 1 in the middle of Feb. I think that this horse is tailor-made for that race. He'll get his testing ground, and it's 2.5 miles, and I think in that race I'll be surprised if there's more than one or two that could challenge him in that race. With him being a northern horse, we might still get an each-way price for him on that day. And he was tremendous yesterday, beating, you'd have to say, a relatively disappointing field. The outsider, Art Maresque, ended up finishing second. Now, Art Maresque was running on ground that would be softer than ideal. Godzone doesn't stay the trip, in my opinion, on good to soft ground. Smad Place, I think, sulked a little bit when he couldn't get to the front and eventually stayed on. Josses Hill put in his usual less than fluent round of jumping, and Ballyboley isn't good enough. So it wasn't a great field. The pounds and lengths don't add up to much, but the style of his victory points to waiting patiently being a Grade 1, Grade 2 horse.
Waiting patiently has obviously been shortened in the betting for the Ryanair Chase on the back of this victory. Also, a few calls for the horse to be dropped in trip to 2 miles for the Champion Chase. Is that something you'd be in favour of?
No, neither, actually. I don't think he's a Cheltenham horse. And I'd be he will need one of those marches where it never stops raining. Like, I think it was 1995 when Master Oates won the Gold Cup and... I can't remember what won the Champion Hurdle, but it was soft ground horses all the way. He will need the Cheltenham Festival to be run on soft or certainly good to soft, tending towards soft ground. He's highly unlikely to get his ground. And this stable, I cannot believe that they will risk him on a quicker surface and want to see him running down that hill on a quicker surface and risking him. There's no point. He'll have plenty of races that will suit him, and the Betfair Ascot Chase will suit him a lot more than the Cheltenham Festival. The other thing I would say about this is that a lot of horses that run in the Betfair Ascot Chase leave their race behind there when they do end up running at Cheltenham, because it's a tough race on heavy ground and it's a month before the festival. So for a couple of reasons, I wouldn't buy into that money for him for either of those races at the festival.
So the Ascot Chase, then, your preferred target for waiting?
Absolutely. It is absolutely the race for him. Now, Ken Pitterson was on the line yesterday for William Hill, and he said that he spoke with the Stable Connections after the race, and they said that the Betfair Ascot Chase was the next stop, which I was really pleased to hear.
Be very interesting to see Waiting Patiently run in that race for Malcolm Jefferson. Brian Hughes was in the saddle yesterday, taking listed honours at Kempton. Where shall we go next, Andy? There was a Grade 2 race in Punchestown over in Ireland, but really this might as well have been a Grade 1 with Get a Bird taking the race for Mengele Khan in second place. These two played hopscotch a little bit in the betting throughout the week, and in the end, William Mullins' charge has been sent off favourite and has ended up winning incredibly comfortably indeed by 9 lengths.
He has, and you couldn't help but be impressed with the performance. You've got the evidence of history to go on as well, in that Duvan, Vautour and Min all won the Moscow Flyer before they went on to the Supreme. The difficulty always with this race is that it's run on testing ground, and you're never quite sure whether it means it's going to be won by a Supreme horse or a Ballymore horse or even an Albert Bartlett horse. And that's the case with Get a Bird. He's very strong in the Supreme market, but he's also been very heavily supported for the Ballymore and the Albert Bartlett. Even the Albert Bartlett, he's 16-1. I think that's probably not the race that he'll go for.
Yeah.
And what we don't know is where he stands in the pecking order. I think the clue, you know, it's quite a strong clue that he's gone for the Moscow Flyer, you know, given that Richie Rich and Mullins would target this race previously with very good horses. So you'd have to think that probably it's the Supreme, but it still wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world if they didn't have something else for the Supreme and move this one up to 2.5 miles. He was very good yesterday. He beat Mengele Khan, who was on something of a recovery mission after running out last time out, with Willie Mullins' other horse, Carter Mackay, back in third place. It was a really good run. I don't know. Claim and Take and Forgan is the horse that I've supported for the Supreme, and, you know, I'd still be very hopeful that he would be good enough to be thereabouts in that race.
Willie Mullins gave one of his classic lines at the end of this race when asked about a potential target for Get a Bird. He sort of said, well, he's clearly got the good speed for over 2 miles for Supreme, but he also probably, you know, stays well enough to run in the Ballymore. So we'll assess our options. And it until about the week of the festival, even then it's very difficult to tell what the definite targets of these horses are going to be.
Yeah, and the first clue that we will all get is 5 to 7, 8 days before the festival, when Get a Bird suddenly shortens dramatically for one of the two races.
Yeah.
So it's kind of after the horse is bolted a little bit.
Yes, quite literally. So Get a Bird winning the Grade 2 Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle at Punchestown on Saturday. How about we take a stroll back to Kempton now, okay. Andy? The Lanzarote Hurdle at 2:40. Nicky Henderson missed this meeting, the first meeting he'd missed at Kempton in a very long time because he was getting married, so that's a fair excuse. But what he did miss was this young, exciting conditional jockey, James Bowen, winning the Lanzarote on his horse, William Henry. A lot of people have been saying a lot of very nice things about James Bowen, and quite understandably. Are you on the hype?
Well, I wouldn't be on the hype because, you know, you can't afford to be. So, but yes, he's very good. He's very, very good. There's two or three young jockeys come through. He's arguably the best of them. But, you know, you have to be careful because if you're on the hype, it means that you'll buy into it whenever James Bourne's on a horse, that somehow he's going to do something that the horse otherwise wouldn't be able to do. And, of course, that's not the case. So I think we also have to look at the flip side of it. James Bourne horses are generally... going to be more supported in the market at the moment than they should be. In fact, Tom George has just had a losing favourite at Kelso with James Bourne on there as a case in point that finished tailed off. So, no, in that, he's an excellent jockey, there's no doubt about it, but we just have to be careful when a horse or a jockey gets so much media attention, because it inevitably means that there's always a risk that the horses that they ride will be that little bit shorter than they should be on other occasions. In this instance, I don't think that was the case because this was such a competitive handicap. And Nicky Henderson had two very good chances in this race with William Henry and Deister BF. I didn't think there would be a lot between the two of them. And I think what told at the end of the day was William Henry's extra experience. Because last time out, Deister BF at Kempton, it just looked like in the home straight, it looked like the penny dropped halfway up the home straight and he stayed on. This step up in trip looked like a good idea, but it was the same again. It was a complex race. It was there was plenty of runners, and I think he got a little bit lost in the race, and he stayed on in the end nicely. And I certainly wouldn't be put off that horse because I think that he will benefit an awful lot from that experience. He ran on in fifth under kind handling, I would say. Mm. And I would suggest that we keep this one in mind for a really good handicap on another day.
We heard Philip Hobbs say a little bit earlier in the season how he's a bit reluctant to run his more inexperienced hurdlers in these sorts of big field handicap hurdles because there's such a challenge for a younger horse. And Nicky Henderson has gone and run one of those younger horses here. He's been central favourite, not ridiculously short at 5-1. And as you say, he seems to get the message quite late on in the race rather than just completely flattening it. Because it looked at one point like he might finish it very long. Way down the pecking order.
It did, and who knows, at the end of the day, if Deister BF comes out and wins a really big prize over 2.5 miles on the strength of this extra experience he's gained, then that would imply that this was a good idea.
Yeah.
If he loses his way a little bit, then perhaps, people will be saying, he shouldn't have run in the Lanzarote with only having one or two runs behind him. Can we just go to that following race?
We can.
Where we saw a very interesting performance from Fountain's Windfall. Now, you'd have to say that, again, the pounds and lengths of this performance didn't add up to anything because when you looked at this race beforehand, the even money that was available for Fountain's Windfall, it looked even money for him to get round rather than even money for him to beat anything.
He's fallen the last twice, hasn't he?
He's fallen the last twice. He fell at Kempton, slightly unfortunately, and he fell at Newbury when he landed a little bit steeply. And yet, ironically, I would suggest that 9 of every 10 fences he's jumped extremely well. The key yesterday was to get him round and give him a big confidence boost before perhaps he stepped up, given another race for experience before he goes for the RSA chase. But yesterday he had Ballycan behind him, who, he's well exposed. He had the young master who's been out of form and jumped violently left. On Tour is a horse that is much better pre-Christmas, and the race for On Tour will be at Aintree in November. That's the next time we should be focusing on him. And Bally Alton doesn't look to me like he's going to stay this trip. So Fountain's Windfall had nothing to beat, and he's yet to prove that he can jump that well in a big field, which of course is what he's going to need to do in the RSA. So I would like to see him given one more race for experience in a slightly more competitive race than this, where he's jumping, when horses are half lengthening him and having to jump. Here he was on the rail all the way around and the young master was on his outside but jumping violently left, which meant that it gave Fountain's Windfall for loads of space and loads of room and didn't put his jumping under any pressure at any stage. I'd like to see him again because he's a very talented horse, and one of the keys with him is he'll be better still on good ground, which he'll probably get at the Cheltenham Festival.
We'll have a very quick mention of a couple of the races at Warwick before we wrap up. Andy, we had a Grade 2 Novices Hurdle, the Leamington Novices Hurdle. Mr. Whipped justified favouritism in that one, going on to win relatively snugly from Paisley Park in second place and got up relatively late in the day.
Yes, and looking like an Albert Bartlett horse rather than a Ballymore horse, I would say. Very, very strongly, I would say that he won with a lot more in hand than it looked. He pricked his ears and idled in front. I thought Nico de Bonneville did very well to get him going again. He held on by a length from Paisley Park, and personally, if the two of them ran against each other again, I would be reasonably confident that Mr. Whipped would come out on top again. Certainly, if they both headed for the Albert Bartlett, I'd be on the side of Mr. Whipped, at least over Paisley Park. I don't think it was the strongest race when we look at the depth of the race, but nevertheless, Mr. Whipped comes from, you know, the stable in England, in Britain, you want to come from if you're going to go for the Cheltenham Festival as a hurdler. He's one of two entries Nicky Henderson's got in that race, the Albert Bartlett, or two horses, should I say, that are prominent in the market. And he definitely, along with the other horse, which I'm just going to tell you what he's called, because he ran yesterday as well, interestingly enough, Chef de Zobo. He's the other one in the Albert Bartlett for Nicky Henderson. I think he's got two horses there that will stay extremely well and are probably both worth their place in the first six or seven in the market for the Albert Bartlett.
And finally, we'll put in a very quick word for what was ostensibly the feature race of the day, and we haven't even got round to having much of a conversation about it at all. The Classic Chase at Warwick, that Grade 3 prize, Milan Spa, winning it for Bryony Frost and Neil King. They've talked about the Grand National for this horse. Andy, it'd be great for Bryony Frost to have a ride in the world's most famous steeplechase. Would he have any chance in it?
Well, it'll be 40 runners, and he'll have at least a 1 in 40 chance. Obviously, the fact that he's won by 11 lengths here is very helpful in terms of him actually getting into the race.
Yeah.
So he's now going to go up to a mark in presumably mid to late 40s, mid to late 140s, should I say. I mean, he won very impressively here. I mean, any win from Bryony Frost is an absolute joy, because you then get to listen to her afterwards, be interviewed by... I particularly enjoy her interviews with Lydia, with Lydia Hislop. I mean, there's a rapport between the two of them, and you can clearly see that Lydia really enjoys talking with Bryony Frost and really sort of appreciates her, and you can see that Bryony Frost knows that, and it's an absolute joy to listen to this young woman. And she's you'd have to say she keeps it simple. You know, she gets to each hurdle, each fence, 1, 2, 3, bank, 1, 2, 3, and it's just a joy to watch her. She's very good. She's very organised, and I certainly mark horses up when she's on them.
Brilliant. Well, lots to get through on Saturday, and lots of clues to take into the coming weeks and months as we head towards the business end of the national hunt season. Andy, thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Racing Podcast.
Very welcome.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.